finding your place there. You can remain seated. We'll look at some scripture in just a moment. We've all heard, and we've likely all learned as well through this process of living, the series of years that God has given to us to live. We've likely all learned that life is a series of day-to-day spiritual warfare battles. Wouldn't you agree with me? We are in the fight of our lives, as our theme was a few years ago. How true that it still is today. It is a series of battles. And every one of us have been in the place in these walks with God where we've come to the point where we have just wanted to quit. We didn't want to get up and try to serve God anymore. There was something in the burdens, whatever it may be, all coming together and hits us all at one time, maybe. We just say, good night. It's not even worth it anymore. Why am I pouring and investing my life into the service of God when all this is happening to me? It's not fair. Why does this stuff not happen to that person out there living like the devil, him or herself? But yet it's happening to me, who goes to church every Sunday, who gives their tithe, who gives to support missionaries all over the world. I work with the children. I sing in the choir. I do this and I do that. Why is this happening to me and that vile person that I know is just getting away with everything? The fact is, we've probably all been there, haven't we? There's an aspect of our life that is just longing for peace, longing for the time when we're going to be able to have an easier life, a better life. In our own minds, we think that we've got it hard, and we're hungry for that peace. We're hungry for that time when we'll be able to lay down our weapons. Right here in Isaiah chapter number 62, we find such an interesting passage. Isaiah 62, if you know anything about these Old Testament prophets and these major prophets, I don't even like designating them major or minor. We understand why, but they are all so filled with so much good stuff that feeds my soul. But in this chapter, in the 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, it is painting a prophetic picture of the peace that will be found for God's people when the Lord Jesus returns and then sets up His millennial kingdom. If you study the Old Testament and these prophecies, these prophets in the Old Testament, you will learn that so many of them are pointing to that very truth. Now, always remember, church, that there is a period of time that the Old Testament prophets, they did not see the church age. Okay, they didn't know the church age was even going to exist. They didn't know how good it was going to be. All they could see was that triumphant return of Christ we talked a little bit about on Sunday and the setting up of His millennial kingdom. And He comes back to earth to occupy the very throne of David. That's all they could see. And so that's what they write about. And you're seeing so much of that that is given during this period of time. And in Isaiah 62, that's what's being given. But as in most every one of these cases with these Old Testament prophets, there is also a daily spiritual lesson that we can learn from them also. Something that God is paralleling a truth with that comes right into our lives, that fits into the circumstances that we are faced with as we are living. And in this case, God is dealing with this matter of just finding peace and persistence in our prayer life. There's one thing we're both lacking in, or two things. It is peace, we just discussed, but it's persistence in our prayer life. And as we look at this, that's exactly what we are seeing happen. And Isaiah is saying, you need to pray, seeking peace, just as they were looking toward peace in the millennial kingdom. God's people were, still are. But you need to be persistent in praying for that. In some cases, the only time that many of us will pray with any level of excitement for the return of Christ at the rapture, for Him to take us out of this world. In many cases, the only time we'll do that, hear me, is when we're facing an incredibly difficult situation in our life, a tough time, a season in our life that we frankly just don't want to face. I remember when I was seeking to sell one or I guess really all of the companies at the same time, I remember at that point I was faced with some challenges I was looking toward in the business, some things I was going to have to deal with, some with level of clientele, some with level of personnel. I didn't want to mess with it. And so my prayer shifted to the fact, Lord, would you please unload these businesses so I can go on in the work of God and I can serve you. When I started facing, Brother Joel, those challenges and knowing I was going to have to deal with these things, my prayer was, Lord, would you please let me sell these things before I have to face this challenge that I'm about to have to go through, this uncomfortable, this difficult situation. That's how we are when it comes to the rapture of the church, isn't it? When we're facing a hard time in our life, we'll go outside, we'll look up to the sky, we'll say, Lord, I really don't want to have to face this trial or this trouble, this difficult situation. So, Lord, even so come right now. Would you do it, please? Even so come. But then on the flip side, when everything in life is going just grandiose and glorious, I mean, we're in good shape. Maybe you're about to experience something great, a new job promotion that you're about to get. You're about to buy you a new house. Maybe you're about to, I don't know, get married, have children, whatever the case may be. Then you'll go outside. You'll stare up at the sky. Lord, even so come. But would you mind holding off just a little while? I sure would like to experience this right here. The fact of the matter is we're a little bit wishy-washy on how much we really want that ultimate peace that only God can give and will give in that millennial reign and in that millennial kingdom. Folks, when it's time for the Lord Jesus to come, He's going to come. It's already set. He's going to come. But until then, you might as well go ahead and dig your heels in and my heels in. We need to understand we're going to have to face the challenges and the trials of this life, and we're going to have to war through it all, fight our way through it as we are seeking that time and that life of peace that we want. And the only way we're going to be able to successfully do that is we're going to have to pray our way through a whole bunch of stuff that we are going through with in our life. I look at these verses that are given to us. I'm going to read in just a second in Isaiah 62, but I'm going to talk to you for a minute around this thought here this evening. The life of a prayer warrior. The life, even we could call it, of a persistent prayer warrior. Look in verse number 6 of this. It's with this understanding in the background that Isaiah gives us these words right here, and listen to them closely. He says, I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Look at this, which shall never, look at this, never hold their peace day nor night. Yet that make mention of the Lord. Ye that make mention of the Lord, he says right here, keep not silent. In other words, you keep on calling out. If you called out to God, don't you ever run into a day in your life where you're silent. He says, keep not silent. Verse number 7 says, and give him no rest. Same thought right there. Till, underscore that word till right there. Till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Again, we're understanding right here. This is pointing, of course, to the peace that is going to come for Jerusalem. Referring here to God's people, okay? When the millennial kingdom is set up, Jesus Christ is reigning on the throne. But in present day, there are some helpful things for each one of us when it comes to this matter of prayer, the life of a prayer warrior. And you can write these things down if you want to in your Bible, in your margin, if you would. The life of a prayer warrior. We're seeing, first of all, right here, that there is the stationing of a prayer warrior. Maybe you saw it there in the scripture, the stationing of a prayer warrior. He said, I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Now, if you know much about the setup of the Old Testament and the way that these ancient worlds, they actually fought and they actually guarded themselves. They didn't have advanced security systems like we do today and missile systems. And they didn't have an Air Force that was flying over, a Coast Guard and such things that was watching the lakes and the creeks and the moats and whatever the case may be. No, the way that they guarded their city is they would put what the Bible says, watchmen up there on top of those great big city walls. The job of those watchmen all night long. We studied this a few months ago. All night long they would look out and they would be listening closely for the sound of a snapping stick. You know, somebody walking through the woods or through the land. They listen for the sound of water, you know, swimming across toward the base of the wall. Or they would be watching in every way they could to see if the enemy was approaching them. And so a watchman would be set out there and they would keep an eye on it. And Isaiah is making a reference here to that. He said, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. What he is referring to right here is nothing less than a prayer warrior. A watchman being a prayer warrior. He is referring, of course, as we talked about here, to the city of God, Jerusalem, known also as the city of peace. And we know that while studying God's word, known also as the city of peace. And it's talking about that forever unforsaken city of God. That place that will last forever. The only place that will last forever is that great city of God. He's referring to here again to His people. But again, it is a picture here of God's people being watchmen, God's people being prayer warriors. God gives us some people in our life who will be watchmen, who will be prayer warriors, who will be people who will sign up, they will enlist in the army, they will enlist in the ranks to go out, climb up on the walls in the darkest hours of the night and watch out while on their knees calling out to God. That's the best way you can defend your home. That's the best way that you can defend your life. Build the walls around it to keep sin out of it. You will keep sin out of your life. I will keep sin out of my life through prayer. We will every time. And what he is saying right here is you are to build a wall or go out to the wall and be the watchman, the prayer warrior that you need to be. But you have got to be somebody that enlists in it. He says, I have set watchmen out. I'll tell you, one of the greatest things we need to do today is learn that we've got to call out to God and we've got to be faithful in calling out to God and begging God for His touch and His power. Not only that He will give us a peace in our life and a peace that will be able to radiate our whole world, but the very fact we need to call out to Him as well that His very power would rest on us. God's touch would be, if we only realize how powerless we really were spiritually, it would scare us to death. From time to time, people will ask me, what can I help you pray for? And I'm so grateful when people ask that question because there's no greater compliment or gift that anybody can give me than for somebody to say, I'm praying for you. From time to time, somebody will say, what can I help you pray? I got a message today from somebody, a man who's going to be here during our kids' event in July. He's coming just to help with some things. From Michigan, and he sent me a text, and he does so frequently every Sunday morning, says, I'm praying for you as you preach this morning. Today he said, I'm updating my prayer list. How can I pray for you and for your church? And you know what my response without any hesitation is? My response is not, pray that God will give me some more money. My response is not, pray that God will give me some more strength. My response is not, pray that God will give me some more wisdom, although maybe I ought to ask that one a little bit more. Sometimes all of those things are relevant. Sometimes we may need God to provide a particular financial need, or we may need God to give us a little bit of strength to get through this day or this situation in this life. We may need God to give us wisdom to make a decision, but you know all of those things I set aside, and when somebody asks me, what can I help you pray for? My begging request to them is pray that the power of God would rest upon my life. That's what I want more than anything, that God's power would be seen through my life to this entire world. And when I stand to prepare to preach the Word of God, that His anointing will be on me and His power will be on me. There's nothing greater than having God's touch, God's power. But I encourage you today that you need that power as well. As you are trying to seek God's will and seek God's plan in your life, and as you're trying to win, hopefully, a world that is out there that is lost and on their way to hell, as you're trying to win your family, as you're trying to be a witness in this world and live a godly life, you need desperately to have God's touch and God's power. It is not just for the preacher. It is not just for the missionary. It is not just for the singer. It is not just for the Sunday school teacher. You, ma'am, need God's power. You, sir, need God's power to raise your children. You need help. You need the power of God. And it is the greatest request that I have in my life, that God's power would rest on my life. Have you ever found yourself in that situation before, to where you felt so powerless? You felt like God was just nowhere near you. You felt so ineffective in every way. You feel like you're not getting anything done for the Lord. Sure you have. It all goes back to this matter of prayer. You will not find God's power without prayer. So my question is, have you enlisted in the ranks, and have you become one that is part of the stationing of the prayer warriors? You're holding the ropes up in prayer, and you are going to stick with it. Are you staying true to that prayer life, or are you a deserter in this thing? You need to get involved in it. So you see right here that there is the stationing of a prayer warrior. But notice, secondly, not only the stationing of a prayer warrior, but I like this, you see also the strategy of a prayer warrior. He gives us in these verses here the strategy of a prayer warrior. Look in verse number 6 again. He says, which shall, I like this word, never. You ought to underscore that again. Which shall never hold their peace day nor night. He's saying day and night, it doesn't matter. I'm crying out to God day and night. I'm crying out to God. Hold your peace day and night. Ye that make mention of the Lord. I love these words. Keep not silent. Keep on calling out to God. That is your strategy. You keep on calling out to God. The first part of verse number 7. Look at these words. And give Him no rest. There's a couple ways you can look at that. You and I, in our prayer time, give no rest to it. But goodness gracious, give no rest to the ear of God hearing your voice in prayer as well. God's never going to get tired of hearing you pray. God's never going to get tired of hearing you lay your heart and lay your burdens out to God. Not only do you have to enlist in this thing, not only do you have this situation where you need to be a watchman, a prayer warrior, but you need to have a strategy in your prayer life. Here it is. The life of a prayer warrior, it's really this simple. Never quits. We don't know how to just do things anymore and stick with it. Something that just burns me up, can I say this? Since when do we just satisfy with little leagues, stopping with a tie? Why can't we have a winner? You know how I feel about the everybody gets a trophy thing. Why can't we have a winner? We are instilling in the minds of young children today, it is affecting adults, this millennial crowd, and all that kind of stuff that is going on. You don't have to have a winner. And it's all about this matter of let's quit early at the tie, length of game or whatever it might be, and you just don't have winners anymore. God, give us some winners when it comes to prayer warriors, spiritual things, people that'll just stick with it. People that'll say, look, I don't care what time it is. I don't care how much longer I need to spend in this, how much intensity that it's going to involve, what it's going to cost me. I am going to be strategic. God said that I am to pray day and night. I am not going to rest in it. I'm going to stick with it. Going to be persistent in this thing. A prayer warrior never quits. Can you think of a prayer warrior that's ever quit? I can't. My father's real mother, Granny Bridges was her name. Dorothy was her first name. Of course, you've heard Dad's story. His mom and dad split up, I believe, when he was 4 or 5 years old. And there was 3 children. All 3 of them went and lived in separate places. His dad, shortly after, died as a younger man. His mother lived a life of sin, but she got saved. And he always had a good relationship with her after he grew up, became a man. She turned into the biggest prayer warrior that he had. As a matter of fact, I distinctly remember at her funeral as he preached it. I remember him standing over Granny Bridges' casket and him saying as he was preaching that funeral, I stand here today and I have lost the greatest asset that I have ever had in the ministry. This was my greatest prayer warrior. This was the woman who got up, I kid you not, at 2 to 3 o'clock every morning and prayed solid until 8 o'clock that morning. That's all she did. Every morning she had lupus. She got up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock latest, and prayed till 8 o'clock in the morning. Didn't do anything else. Nobody bothered her at that hour of the morning. And she prayed, and she prayed for Dad. And Dad attributes the mighty things that God did in His ministry to one old woman, his mother, who prayed. She enlisted in it. And then she had a strategy in it. Day and night, I will pray, she said. Wouldn't it be great if tonight, today, some of us will just enlist in this thing and say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to day and night call out to the Lord. I will not be silent and I will not rest. I'm going to call out to God. I wish so much that that could be said of me, to be honest with you. That day and night I prayed. That I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I prayed till 8 o'clock in the morning. I wish that it could be said of me at all times that I never rested in my prayer. I wish that it could be said of all times of me that I was never silent in my prayers. Now I stand before you today and with shame I admit the fact that's not always who I am. Sometimes our prayer lives are just weak. It'd be great tonight if we just decided that we were going to step into this thing. We were going to get in it. We were going to be strategic in it. And the strategy is to pray, 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 pray. One day when we get to heaven, I'm absolutely convinced of this. One day when we get to heaven, we are going to learn and God is going to reveal to us all of the things that we could have had. Had we just prayed for him? Had we just asked God for him? Furthermore, I think he's also going to reveal to us how close we were to some things. And all it needed was just one more prayer. But we quit. We did not follow the strategy of it. And we quit. Notice the third thing with me, and we'll be done. We'll spend a minute in prayer. We're not talking only about the strategy of a prayer warrior, but think about this quickly here, the success of a prayer warrior as well. Look at verse number 7. He says right here, and give him no rest, of course. And I love this right here. He says, till. In other words, it's coming. It's coming, not perhaps. Okay? He says, till. I still believe that a prayer filled with the Spirit of God and a prayer that is in line with the will of God, wanting to give God glory for it, God will answer that prayer. Now, how he answers it, I don't know. But God will answer our prayers. And right here, he is saying, God, that's what he's saying. He's saying God is going to do that. He says right here, till he established, until he made Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Isaiah is saying right here, he is point blank saying, when you start praying, be not silent, do not rest in it, stick with your prayer until God shows up. And one way or another, God will show up. No matter what you're faced with in your life today, one way or another, God will show up in whatever way. Now, I want you to think about something, okay? I'm finished. I want you to think about this. Think back in your life right now, in recent time, however long. Can you think of one thing that you've been praying for? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Put your hand up. Can you think of one thing that you've prayed for? I mean, something that was a big burden. It was heavy upon you. And you prayed for it. Isn't it true? Thank you so much. Isn't it true, though, in many of those instances, whatever that one thing was, if we didn't see what appeared to us to be the movement that we needed to see in it, we got discouraged in our prayer, and we just quit praying for it. And I do believe that's what God's going to reveal to us one day. He's going to say, here it is. This is how close you were to seeing that kid saved. This is how close you were to that promotion you'd been praying for. This is how close you were to that need that you said that you had. But you quit praying too soon. The first thing you've got to do is enlist in prayer. You've got to be part of it. And if the truth be known, there's not one of us in here that's praying enough, and we've got to get involved in that. Then we've got to be strategic. You don't ever stop. And then you pray expecting God to move with success. What a wonderful prophecy that God gives us. We're going to pray here in just a moment. I want to thank those that joined us tonight by way of Facebook. We're going to sign off so we can spend some time in prayer right now. But we're going to pray and ask God to help. Now, many of us sat here and we listened just a few minutes ago. We listened to prayer needs that people were saying, and I could go room by room, person by person, right? I could remember most of those, and you can too. What I encourage you to do today is help people pray for some of these matters. Invest in somebody else's life. I am asking you to pray for the Lord's church, for the Lord's day, this event Saturday, that God will move in a special way, a mighty way. If the Lord allows, I'm not going to be preaching evangelistically Sunday morning. I rarely do this, but I'm going to deal with something else Sunday morning that's going to be focused a bit more to our families a little bit. But you know what? God can save people even if you're not dealing with those things. I never forget how Sky Asher came in and went right there, sat right in front of where Daryl was sitting next to the wall. The first time she came to church on a Sunday morning, do you remember that? I got up and I was preaching right before a children's event. I was preaching on Jesus Loves the Little Children or something like that. She breathed a sigh of relief saying, I won't have to worry about conviction hitting me today. He's talking to the children. God got all over that girl sitting back in that corner back there. And that morning she walked down and right there in that corner gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. God can do that Sunday. Let's ask Him to save an old sinner. The fact is, He'll save them. If they'll just let go. People here on Sunday that just wouldn't let go again. It's almost every week that I know of that people are here that are lost. More than I don't know of, no doubt. Let's pray that the Lord will do it. Joel.